So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, starting a new chapter, chapter 16. The two doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijaya, cursed by the sages. Text 1. Brahma uvacha iti tad grinatam tesham muninam yoga dharminam Pratinandya jagat dedham Vikunta nilayo vibhu. Lord Brahma said, after thus congratulating the sages for their nice words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose abode is in the kingdom of God, spoke as follows. So there's no purport, so we'll read the next verse. The translation is, the Personality of Godhead said, these attendants of mine, Jaya and Vijaya, by name, have committed a great offence against you because of ignoring me. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. To commit an offence at the feet of a devotee of the Lord is a great wrong. Even when a living entity is promoted to Vaikuntha, there is still a chance that he may commit offences. But the difference is that when one is in Vaikuntha planet, even if by chance one commits an offence, he is protected by the Lord. This is the remarkable fact in the dealings of the Lord and the servitor, as seen in the present incident concerning Jaya and Vijaya. The word atikrama used herein indicates that in offending a devotee, one neglects the Supreme Lord himself. By mistakes, the doormen held the sages from entering Vaikuntha Loka, but because they were engaged in transcendental service of the Lord, their annihilation was not expected by advanced devotees. The Lord's presence on the spot was very pleasing to the hearts of the devotees. The Lord understood that the trouble was due to his lotus feet not being seen by the sages, and therefore he wanted to please them by personally going there. The Lord is so merciful that even if there is some impediment for the devotee, he himself manages matters in such a way that the devotee is not bereft of having audience at his lotus feet. There is a very good example in the life of Haridas Thakur. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing at Jagannath Puri, Haridas Thakur, who happened to be a Mohammedan by birth, was with him. In the Hindu temples, especially in those days, no one but a Hindu was allowed to enter. Although Haridas Thakur was the greatest of all Hindus in his behaviour, he considered himself a Mohammedan and did not enter the temple. Lord Chaitanya could understand his humility, and since he did not go to see the temple, Lord Chaitanya himself, who was non-different from Lord Jagannath, used to come and sit with Haridas Thakur daily. Here, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we also find the same behaviour of the Lord. His devotees were prevented from seeing his lotus feet, but the Lord himself came to see them on the same lotus feet for which they aspired. It is also significant that he was accompanied by the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune is not to be seen by ordinary persons, but the Lord was so kind that although the devotees did not aspire for such an honour, he appeared before them with the goddess of fortune. Omagana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nevisesha Shunyavali Pashachade Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Stai Vitalation, Vivadananda Swami Yamane. So that's one thing that I just never ever knew, that actually even in Vaikuntha you can cause an offence. You can make a mistake up there. Woo! Such an interesting purport, this whole section of the Jaya and Vijaya and cursing of these great personalities who were servants of the Lord. And the one thing that was very prominent in this purport was that in offending a devotee, one neglects the Supreme Lord himself. So by offending a devotee, we actually put ourselves in risk of offending the Lord himself as well. So I wanted to mention, it's a particular time of the year, a very interesting time of the year for devotees, I guess. At this time of the year, the general population is caught up with Christmas festivities. Everywhere you go, you can't get away from it. You go to a supermarket and they blast you with jingle bells, jingle bells. Everywhere. It's just everywhere. And so, you know, it's a time, as they say, for being with relatives and friends and associates and sharing of gifts and all this kind of stuff and best wishes. But pretty well everything related to Krishna is focused on sense gratification and selfishness. Like, what presents am I going to get? And, you know, oh, yummy, we've got Christmas dinner coming and satisfying the senses and so on and so forth. It's very little to do with the actual essence of Christmas, which is the celebration of the birth of the pure devotee of God who came to teach about God consciousness. Very little God consciousness at all is mentioned. Some token thing, you know, maybe you see a little nativity scene, you know, there's Jesus with the cows and Mary and Joseph and so on and so forth. And this is unfortunately the state of the world today. It's all about satisfying one's senses, selfishness, and even we have festivals that are supposed to be a religious festival. This is a Vyasa Puja of Lord Jesus, and you know, it's more centered upon getting a Christmas tree together and having light bulbs and all this kind of stuff and tinsel everywhere. It's good in one sense in that it's a positive thing, it's a sharing thing. So, but ultimately, people are forgetting about God. In our society today, people are just genuinely forgetting about God, which is really sad in a sense, and it's really how we see the progression of Kali Yuga going on. Even religious leaders forget to mention God. Last night we were watching the news and our friend, our dear friend, I love him a lot, Father Bob. Father Bob Maguire, everybody knows Father Bob Maguire. He's a great friend of the devotees. He was on TV and they always get Father Bob up to give a Christmas message. And really, he's a nice guy, but it really said nothing. He said nothing about the importance of God consciousness in our lives. And it was really sad to see that in one sense, you know, that people are just devoid of actually talking about the significance of having God in your life. And this is right across the whole spectrum. So Bob didn't say anything about that. He was more talking about Jedis and, you know, I mean, this is the latest fad, the latest religion now, is the Jedi warriors. I mean, with the new Star Wars movie that's come out, everybody is completely fanatic about this new movie and the Jedi warriors and the Force be with you and all this kind of stuff, even though George Lucas actually got the inspiration for Star Wars from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Darth Vader is actually Dark Vader, so it's the negative of Vader. So it's so many things. He was a student of the Bhagavatam, of Vedic culture. So anyway, it's interesting that this is all coming up now, you know. So Christmas is an interesting time for the devotees. I was at a conference, an interfaith conference the other day. And we have a meeting to decide what we can do collectively as all different members of different faiths. And I represent the Hindu faith and I represent ISKCON. And we were deciding what topics are we going to have at the next conference that we have. Now the conference, you get hundreds of people coming and they want some spiritual upliftment. And the only topics they could come up with were, you know, discussions about material sufferings and material conflicts in the world. The refugee situation. The terrorist situation. Different things within the world that is confronting. The rights of the individual. Women's rights. So on and so forth. Anyway, I pipped up and I said, how about we have another topic, a topic that you've all avoided. And I said, how about we start thinking about how we can make connections with divinity, with God, in our lives and in our religious traditions? And they all stopped. That's a good idea. That'd be really interesting. And they adopted that. So in a sense, the job of a devotee, especially in these times when they are so-called festive times with a spiritual connection, the job of a devotee is actually to wake people up to the reality. This is the material world. It is not a very nice place. We belong in this place that's being described here in the purport, Vaikuntha. No anxiety. There's so much anxiety in this material world. So our job is to actually wake them up to this reality. So Christmas now means is just a mundane thing. Like, say, for example, on Boxing Day, the big thing is, are you going to Boxing Day test? You're going to the cricket? They're expecting hundreds of people to go, thousands of people to go to the cricket. I know even some of our members, our devotees, are looking forward to Boxing Day, not for Snani Yatra, but I'm sorry, we can't come to Snani Yatra, we've got to go to the cricket. So, and it's not even a competitive match. You know, it's going to be a complete annihilation. They're a hopeless team that we're playing against. And yet, you know, we've got to go to... It's just mundane. All mundane. The whole Christmas thing is just mundane. And what is the basic essence of this Christmas festivities? A lot of killing of animals. So many animals are being slaughtered just for this thing. If you watch on television, you see advertisements from Aldi and Woolworths and Safeway and Coles, and they're advertising turkeys and they're advertising hams and all this kind of stuff, and they make it look so lovely, you know, and they're cutting the flesh. And for a devotee, this is abhorrent. It's shocking, you know, but this is their feast. This is their feast. And it's noted that there's an increase of this going on. They ran out of hams because people are just so keen to have hams. So the shops are running out of hams. It's just horrible. So many pigs are being killed for the sake of this feast that they have. So this is Kali Yuga, and it's progressing very nicely. So somehow or other, the devotees are caught up in this so-called Christmas spirit. With family, friends, work colleagues, and so on and so forth, what do we do? You know, what do? Our children go to our schools, public schools. Everybody's celebrating Christmas. You know, and our children come home and they say, what do we do for Christmas? We want to be part of Christmas. You know, I had that with our children when our children were going to school. So we had to Krishnize Christmas. We changed things in a way that it still had a preaching component. Our children wanted a Christmas tree. So we said, yeah, we'll have a Christmas tree. And we got, I don't know if any of you have been to our place when we have our Christmas party, but we have a Christmas tree. And on the Christmas tree, you know how you can get those little badges with different pictures of Krishna and everything? So instead of baubles, right, we did have some balls to make it decorative, but then in the same token, we got all these different badges with pictures of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and Jagannath, and we decorated the tree as our Krishna tree, right? So the kids had their Christmas tree, and when their friends came over, they used to say, what a far-out Christmas tree you've got. What are all these really fantastic pictures on the tree, you know? So this is a way of Krishnizing. So devotee is his job, their job is to actually bring in the reality. So we gave some little presents, and we also have a program at our house for the devotees. We have an end-of-the-year Krishna's party where the devotees actually bring a little Krishna-conscious present for someone else. Non-gender specific. You bring a little present for someone else. You don't know who it is, but it's one little aspect of Krishna consciousness. Some little thing. It could be a packet of incense. It could be a nice picture of the deities. So you Krishnize Krishna. Christmas. Because somehow or other, we feel obliged to engage. Those of you that are working in the offices, you know, how many are asked, oh, we're having some Christmas drinks at the pub, or we're having the office party, the Christmas party. And how do you feel? These guys are just going to be intoxicated, and I have to be a party to this? Well, somehow or other, we should somehow Krishnize that. And the way you do that is by even actually attending some of these functions, but not partaking of any alcohol, not partaking of their meat, but still being social, in a sense. We have to remember that the role of a devotee, what the role of a devotee is in the play of this whole Kali Yuga. People are so fallen. Lord Chaitanya made it extremely easy for us to advance in Krishna consciousness in this Kali Yuga. And it's up to the devotee to deliver the fallen souls whenever we can, however we can. It's a serious business. You okay? And the serious business is that you don't offend. This is the message that's coming across loud and clear in this chapter. Don't offend the devotees. Do whatever you can to not offend the devotees. The thing is, we have to understand, okay, who are devotees? Who are the devotees? Is it just those who have taken initiation in ISKCON? Who is it? It's actually everybody. Everybody is a spirit soul. And so we have to be really careful as to how we deal with this. And especially, we have to be careful that we don't criticize our fellow devotees. In fact, just make it a blanket rule, I'm not going to criticize anybody. You may not understand why a particular person is doing something, but you leave it up to Krishna. There's an interesting story I heard this week. Some of you may have heard it before in the past. It's about Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was asked to open a new temple. Have you heard this? Open up a new temple, big temple. And he was supposed to speak and everything, and the devotees had made arrangements and everything for him to come at this temple opening. And they rang up, and Maharaj asked about a particular devotee. And they said, oh, Maharaj, that he was a brahmachari. This brahmachari has left. He's gone somewhere else. He was infatuated by a lady, and he stepped down from his vows, so we kicked him out of the temple. And Maharaj was so upset. He said, you did what? You've kicked him out? Yeah, he was having illicit relationships with a lady. He wasn't true to his brahmachari vows, and so, you know, he's gone. And Maharaj said, well, if you want me to open this temple and you want me to speak at this temple function, you have to go back to him and apologize, because otherwise I'm not opening this temple. They said, why, Maharaj? He said, you can't criticize devotees. And so anyway, they went and searched out where this devotee was and apologized to him, and the devotee was so upset, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't feel like coming back. I felt so wrong, you know. But the mood of the whole thing was is that we don't judge other devotees, no matter what they do. We don't criticize. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said it took so long for a person just to come to Krishna consciousness, and now you've driven that person away. Now what? You know, our endeavors are to make people stay in Krishna consciousness. So if there is some fall down, if there's some difficulty, as we're even seeing here, even in Vaikuntha, you can commit an offense. So thereby we have to be very open-minded and very generous with our love and appreciation of other devotees. So this is very important. So we have to understand with gratitude the opportunity that's been awarded to us by devotees. It was by the devotees that we're sitting here. You know, it was by devotees that we actually got in touch with Srila Prabhupada. We say often, you know, it's by Prabhupada's mercy we're here, but actually someone presented Srila Prabhupada's teachings to us, and that was another devotee. So we have to be very grateful that someone has been given the time, spent the time to teach us and to bring this philosophy to us, and thereby, and continues to do that in effect. So some of our devotees keep on enthusing us and encouraging us. So we have to be very much mindful of that. And now, because you have been given this knowledge, it is our duty to outreach to others, to give to others. That's now our task, to do the same thing that was given to us. Now that's our duty. Lord Chaitanya states, whatever position in life you are, you have to become a spiritual teacher. You have to become a spiritual teacher. Kare deki tare kai Krishna upadesh. Please go and be a spiritual teacher. All of us have to be guru. So in our endeavor to reach out to others, the most important factor in giving the opportunity of devotional service to others is to establish a friendship with those that enter into our lives. This is the key thing. A devotee is a friend to all. Prabhupada, at the end of every letter, your ever well-wisher. And one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is Maitra. Maitra means friend to all. So that means you have to have a very personal, open, friendly attitude to everyone. So Christmas time is a great opportunity for that friendliness to be exhibited in our community. That giving spirit. Everybody's in this whole giving thing. They're finally opening up a little bit. It's our opportunity to now also reciprocate with something Krishna conscious. And that can be done in our workplaces, in our homes, next door neighbours, so on and so forth. You know, to give something, because people are expecting to get some sort of a gift. So what do we give? We can give them a really nice book. If you know they're a little bit shastrically inclined, if you know they're interested in philosophy a little bit, we can give them a Bhagavad Gita or some book or a Higher Taste or a Korma cookbook or something. We've got something nice that we can give them. Always. You know, you can cook some cookies, offer it to your deities at home and distribute it through your street. You know, package it up with a little tag, Merry Christmas from your friends, the Hare Krishnas down the street, and just go around to everyone and give them something. Give them prasadam. It's such a wonderful thing. People really, oh, how lovely. We did that we're in a block of units, and Bhakti gets some cookies or something, and we give it to the neighbours, and they just love it, and they respect it. And in fact, when you do something like that and they've had some prasadam, guess what? They become inquisitive about Krishna consciousness. And then because they're your neighbours, you know how you always go to this temple? Do you reckon I could sometimes go to the temple? Yeah, we'll take you down. Or they'll ask about meditation or philosophy. But it's connecting. It's making a friendship. So you can give a book, you can give prasadam. Like say, for example, Achintya Rupa Mataji, do you know the endeavour that she goes to actually make these Christmas cakes? You know how much pressure she was under getting gopals together and all that kind of thing. And yet, she cooked all these different Christmas cakes. You know, I mean, has anybody cooked a Christmas cake? It's really a difficult thing to do. And she makes heaps of these Christmas cakes to give to the bank manager, to give to the police department. I use them and I distribute them through the hospital systems. They wait for our Christmas cake now. They think it's so yummy, you know, like at the Alfred Hospital, they're actually waiting for the Christmas cake. Also at the Spiritual Health Victoria. Oh, Bhakta's here with the Christmas cake, you know. So it's a question of giving. And they relish it. It's not just because we've got better sultanas or anything. It's because there's Krishna Shakti, Krishna Bhakti in there, you know, Krishna saliva. It's Krishna's prasadam, and we're getting an opportunity to give this to people. Similarly, Chandravali Mataji, you know, Chiranjeev's wife, she makes these little gingerbread cookies wrapped up in really nice Christmas foil and everything, really nice little Christmas stickers and everything. And I hand these out to my colleagues for interfaith. And they're yummy. You know, and the people go ape over it, you know. I gave one person a bag of cookies, right? And in one sitting, they ate the whole packet. They couldn't stop. Oh, these are great. They kept on eating, you know. So this is our time that we can actually give something, you know. And similarly also, if we can't give a present, we give the holy name. It's a festive time, so people expect to sing and dance and chant and everything. So now there's the Harinam parties that are going out. We should somehow or other encourage and give the holy name to people by chanting in the street and wishing everybody Merry Christmas, you know, and, you know, like that while we're chanting. And people are receptive. So these are some of the things that we should do. And even if we can't give anything like that, we should give our friendship. Give our friendship. Give a little bit. So there's an example of how powerful just establishing a friendship with someone that you think is just the grossest person of all time, and how much effect your friendship actually has on something. And something came really clear to me this week. ages ago, back in the 70s, we had a devotee here called Sabhavati. And Sabhavati is a very gregarious, outspoken, fired up devotee. And he was running for parliament at one stage and so many things, and he used to have debates with people on television and on radio. On one occasion, he was linked, or somehow or other, he connected with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Everybody know Arnold Schwarzenegger? Right? So they were debating about vegetarianism.
But I am such a strong man, I need my meat.
Right? And Sabhavati was arguing with him, saying, no, you don't need that. You know, and he was explaining how you should be spiritual and so on.
Oh no, you are little man, I am big man.
You know, like this. This week, anybody might have heard in the news, this week, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Paris, where they had the whole conference for global warming, all the different leaders came. He spoke at that conference and he said,
everybody should be vegetarian.
Can you believe this?
At least be vegetarian part-time.
There's this big muscle-bound guy, you know. And I'm sure it had something to do with the connection that he had with Sabhavati way back in the 70s. It stuck in his mind. This little man had so much potency. This little man that I met was so powerful in his conviction, in his Krishna consciousness. It stuck with him, I'm sure. And now he's professing that actually the best lifestyle is a vegetarian lifestyle. So these are wonderful things. We may not see the result of our friendship immediately, but it will come. It will come. So just give yourself, give your friendship to as many as you can. So now is also the time for the Christmas marathon. You know, the Christmas marathon is here. This is our opportunity, because people are in a giving mood, this is our opportunity to give the most valuable gift that we can give, and that's a book. A book contains our complete dossier of what Krishna consciousness is about. And we should give as many as we can. We should make the endeavour to really get out there. Similarly, our communication team has been really working very hard to produce a Krishna Conscious magazine for the 2016 year anniversary, ISKCON's anniversary. So we have to spread this information more and more. It sounds simple, but sometimes we have to force ourselves out of our comfort zone to actually do some Krishna consciousness. You know, I mean, force is a thing that we don't like to do, but sometimes it's the best thing for us. Like, the first thing, you're in bed, right? Really nice, comfortable bed. Everybody's really snuggled up and everything, and Mangalarati time comes around. We actually have to force ourselves to get out of bed, don't we? Oh, God, yeah, get out. And once you're out, you're okay. So in the same token, we have to break with our routine sometimes. Sometimes devotees can get comfortable, devotionally comfortable, you know? We've got our service and we do our deity dressing and we do cook an offering here and there and we go home and we do all these different things and it's comfortable. And we chant our rounds and it's not a big deal. It's really nice and comfortable. But sometimes it actually behooves us to move ourselves out of that comfort zone and actually make some situation which is a little uncomfortable by actually saying, today I'm going to start distributing more books. Today I'm actually going to distribute some books, you know. And I'm talking about, you know, the ladies at home and the men that have got some service here. How can I distribute a little bit more today? Oh, yeah, but that will mean I'll have to go down to the supermarket and I have to stand in front of the supermarket and perhaps hand out a book there, and that's a bit uncomfortable. We have to move ourselves sometimes for our spiritual development, for our overall spiritual advancement. We have to move ourselves into an uncomfortable position. But as soon as you're in that position, then all of a sudden it starts working. Just like getting out of bed. Once you're out of bed and you're in the shower and you're going to Mangalarati, it's all fired up. So similarly, if you actually make that endeavour in this time of the marathon to put yourself in a little bit of an uncomfortable position to distribute more books. In the old days, we used to have to do Sankirtan, and sometimes it wasn't pleasant to do, but still we did it. The greatest example that we can see of someone motivating themselves to an uncomfortable position for the benefit of others is Srila Prabhupada. You know, he was comfortable in his devotional service. He was set up in Vrindavan, beautiful situation, had some servants there chanting, nice prasadam, beautiful deities in the dham. And he put himself, forced himself, not that he required force, but as an example to us, forced himself into a situation of uncomfortable for preaching. So sometimes we have to do that. So there are other situations as well. This is Prabhupada's example. One thing that I wanted to mention, now that the time is coming closer and closer, is the development of the kitchen project. We have to put ourselves, we have to exert ourselves, each and every one of us has to exert ourselves to raise more funds to develop this kitchen. And somehow or other you're going to be approached by devotees, each and every one of us, to either outreach more to encourage people to give to this project, financially give to this project. Anybody that we know, it's a wonderful project. We have the paraphernalia now. We have a beautiful format that we can present to people. Why we're having to extend this kitchen? Because we're wanting to expand the preaching. We have to ask our neighbours to help. We have to ask our colleagues to help. It's a worthwhile cause. And in ourselves, we also have to make pledges of some remuneration to the temple. Something a little bit uncomfortable for us. Offering some financial assistance to get this done. So these are things that we have to do. Lord Chaitanya explains that in a very wonderful narration, how anyone who is dear to the devotees is very, very dear to the Lord. An example of that I read recently was Amoga. Amoga was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Amoga was actually a bit of a rascal. Everybody know the story of Amoga? Amoga was always criticizing the devotees and he was criticizing Lord Chaitanya. Blaspheming, actually. He wasn't just criticizing, he was blaspheming. And because of this blaspheming, he contacted cholera. He became very, very ill. And actually, that was the Lord's mercy upon him and made him realize that the extent of his suffering and offenses was because of how he treated the other devotees and how he treated the Lord. Then the Lord personally appeared there and gave him pure love of God. This is amazing. This person was criticizing the Lord and the devotees, and yet the Lord gave him such mercy. And he explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it's because his relationship with you, because of his relationship, because you have surrendered your life to me, to God consciousness, to Krishna, then anyone that's connected with you will similarly also get special favor. This is an amazing lesson to us. That special favor was that he had that cholera, but he was also straight away liberated. In the same token, there was this other incident with Shivananda Sain. Shivananda Sain had the connection with a dog, remember? He had some affection and a little puppy. It wasn't a pedigree. It was a stray dog. You know, he wasn't particularly good looking or anything, but he formed an attachment. And so him being with Lord Chaitanya straight away gave the mercy to this dog even because of Sivananda's friendship with the dog. So Lord Chaitanya fed the dog and even made the dog chant the holy name. Made the dog chant the holy name. Can you imagine that? And he went back to Godhead. The point is that anyone who is dear to the devotees, anyone that you've established a friendship with, is dear to the Lord. So that is the importance of establishing friendships. Because if you establish a real connection, a real friendship, then the Lord will grant them extra mercy. And this is the very substance of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. A devotee is always dependent on other devotees. They can help us out of our devotional comfort zone. Sometimes we have to actually move people in a direction, you know. Devanath will come up to us and say, "Hey Prabhu, are you coming out on Harinam tonight? Now you've got a nice plate of prasadam at home and it's nice and comfortable at home." And, you know, if he pushes us a little bit, move yourself out of that comfort zone and say, "Yeah, I'm going out on Harinam tonight." So these are different things. If somehow or other we become dear to the Lord's servant, then naturally the Lord will give us special favour. That's very, very important. Another one was when Ashwatthama threw his Brahmastra to destroy the child. You know that story? Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb and Uttara called out to Krishna to protect her helpless child. And as a compassionate mother, so same way, Krishna always hears our prayers. And again, the child was protected. Krishna personally protected the child. And a devotee who sincerely prays for the welfare of others can understand that Krishna will respond to the devotee. Krishna hears all the prayers that the devotees give. So Krishna appeared, and in his transcendental opulence, he destroyed the Brahmastra to protect Parikshit. The Lord's mercy is that he liberates even the beloved ones of his devotees. So he gives liberation even to the loved ones of his devotees. Sarvabhauma surrendered his life in the service of the Lord, and so Sarvabhauma wasn't an ordinary man. He pushed himself in service to the Lord. He completely surrendered himself to the Lord, and thus he gave liberation to his son-in-law. Prahlad also, he was a very good devotee, very surrendered, very dedicated, pure devotee, surrendered everything, and he had a demon for a father. And yet the Lord protected his father, you know, gave mercy to his father. So if you have, we all have parents, loved ones, family, aunties, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, work colleagues, and so on and so forth. If you have an affection for them, if you have a love for them, you want their best, then the Lord will protect them. But you have to be surrendered. So it's dependent on how much you're surrendered, how Krishna conscious you are, that the Lord will protect your siblings, your family, your relatives, and so on and so forth. Then those that you love will get the special mercy of the Lord. This is really, really important. So the Lord is so wonderful that even, you know, say for example, our parents might not appreciate what you're doing in Krishna consciousness. You know, they may not understand at all what you're doing. Like Hiranyakashipu had no idea what Prahlad was doing. He went completely against but Prahlad Maharaj still loved his father. It was, you know, even what Hiranyakashipu did to Prahlad, still he didn't criticize, he didn't become offensive, he still loved his father and wished him the best. And so in the same way, we have our parents, our relatives, our next door neighbours, our work colleagues, they may not understand what we're doing. Some may even be offensive. But that we take no mind of that, and we will develop our own Krishna consciousness to the best of our ability, forcing ourselves to surrender more and more on a daily basis. And then we are able to give that friendship to people. Then Krishna says, "Oh, are you a friend of that devotee? Or are you relative to that devotee? Then you are saved. You get my special mercy." And this is the whole essence of this chapter of the Bhagavatam. That our connection with God, our connection with Krishna, our loving relationship with him, and our impetus to do more and more for him actually secures those people that we befriend, that they also will get the mercy of the Lord. This is an amazing thing. And as we've seen through these different stories, even if someone is blaspheming, even if someone is an animal and they're a friend of a devotee, they'll get the Lord's mercy. So at this time of Christmas, we have an opportunity to enhance our friendship with our colleagues, with our relatives, with our family. All of us, somehow or another, our family expects us to come and see them on Christmas, isn't it? The majority of Western people especially, or give them a call, isn't it? We have to ring mum and dad up, you know, "Oh, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, blah, blah, blah." Send a card, all this kind of stuff. If we do it in a Krishna conscious way, if we give them something Krishna conscious, it is to their benefit. And establish a deep friendship. Always be mindful be mindful that you are a friend with that particular person, that you love that person, and pray for that person. Krishna hears your prayers as well. So this is a time that we can develop that more and more. So Kali Yuga is the best of all ages, actually, to finish up with. Kali Yuga is the best of all ages because in this age, the Lord comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is the simplest way to become God conscious in this age. Even rascals like myself, ignorant fools, can get a little bit of information about Krishna consciousness and start to perceive the wonder of spiritual Krishna consciousness and how wonderful it really is. This is an opportunity for us to be really great advocates of Krishna consciousness. Just as we've been given this gift, we have to give this gift to others. And this is the time that we do it in the examples that I've set out today. And fundamentally, we have to really be diligent in our chanting. That's the greatest gift that we've been given, to really be mindful, force ourselves to actually chant good rounds every day. Don't become complacent. Don't fall into a malaise about your chanting. Be really, give it the impetus. And we have that again, you know, we could just sort of sit there and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or we can apply a little bit of force, say, no, I have to focus more. That's what's required. So I'll stop here. Any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, yeah, really? Is that why you're dressed like you are?
Yeah.
Good. And look what he's wearing. He's wearing Western clothes, but he's got a really nice picture of Krishna and Mother Yashoda. And surely that's a nice picture. They've made advancement because they're appreciating Krishna. Well done. Good on you. What are you bringing? Bring some presents?
I'll make some, because it's hot today, I'll make some lassi and lemon drink.
Great. Cookbooks are great. Korma's cookbook is great. Yeah. Good. Any other comments or questions at all for us? Yes, Bhakti.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, when you're talking about our comfort zone and pushing beyond our comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then you were saying also that we may be approached to ask others for donations for the kitchen.
Yeah.
Or we may be approached ourselves to be, you know, to give to the kitchen.
Yeah.
So that's also another area.
Yeah.
This congregation is expanding so much. But this kitchen project, once we've got that done, so, you know, we need to go beyond our comfort zone, put our own desires for another temple aside for a while,
yeah.
So we can get this kitchen finished.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with the expansion of the other kitchens, the other crossways centers, that will bring in the funds also.
Necessary. To bring to fruition that other temple.
To bring that other project to fruition.
Absolutely right. Yeah,
so,
good point.
And again, we should not think in our Krishna consciousness that, okay, the temple may want to have another kitchen, but we want a temple. Because, again, that is then thinking of this is what we want rather than what does Krishna want.
Yeah, very good. It's obviously that Krishna wants this kitchen to be built.
And
there's
so
much support. Thank you, Bhakti. Any other comments or questions at all? Yes, Prabhu.
But nowadays in the offices, the Christmas teas, morning teas and the evening teas are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So what my Prabhu did, he buy dry fruits.
Yep.
He offered to Krishna, he offered to our deities,
yep.
And then he gave it to the office.
That's the shot.
So it's like they believe the dry fruits, at least they have some prasadam.
Fantastic. That's the shot. That's intelligent. But also don't stop just at the office, you know. You also, you've got neighbours, do the same thing. Make a little package, dry fruit or cookies or something, and give it to people. Give them prasadam. You'll save their lives. you know, at the time when all their nonsense for their whole lives, right? If the only thing is that they, on that day, that Christmas, you actually gave them a little bit of prasadam, right? That saves them from coming into an animal body in their next life. You saved them. Krishna made the arrangements because you have befriended, you have given a gift, so thereby they'll get that mercy from Krishna that they don't have to enter into the body of a frog or an amoeba or something because of all their other nonsense that they do. You make that difference. Every devotee makes that difference. So this is what we have to really remember. So we have to push ourselves in different directions to actually expand. And you do it in subtle ways. You know, book distribution is there, but prasadam distribution, everything can be done like that. So I'll stop here because we've got the marathon on. Thank you very much, Prabhus. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.